Good day, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Shelf Drilling Quarter One 2021 earnings call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question and answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. If you require any further assistance, please press star and zero. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, David Mullen. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and welcome everyone to Shelf Drilling Quarter One 2021 earnings call. Joining me on the call today is Greg O'Brien, Shelf Drilling CFO. Earlier this morning, we published the Shelf Drilling Limited financial statements for Quarter One 2021, as well as our latest fleet status report on the investor relations website. In addition to our press release and the financial statement, we also published a short presentation with highlights from the first quarter. A recording of this call will be made available on our website within the next few days. Before we begin, let me remind everyone that our call will contain forward-looking statements. Except for statements of historical facts, all statements that address our outlook for 2021 and beyond, activities, events, or developments that we expect, estimate, project, believe, or anticipate may or will occur in the future are forward-looking statements. Forward-looking statements involve substantial risks and uncertainties that could significantly affect expected results. Actual future results could differ materially from those described in such statements. Also note that we may use non-GAAP financial measures in the call today. If we do, you will find supplemental disclosures for these measures and an associated reconciliation in our financial reports. I will provide an overview of the company's performance for Quarter One 2021 before sharing my latest views on the jack-up market, and I will then hand over to Greg to walk you through the financials before we open up the floor to Q&A. As always, I would like to start the commentary on our earnings call with our safety performance. We have had a very good start to the year. Our safety performance, as measured by our total recordable incident rate, was 0.19 as of 31st of March 2021, and reduced to 0.14 as of the end of April 2021, following another month of zero recordable safety incidents. All of our leading safety key performance indicators are in the green zone. I must recognize our crew and onshore teams who continue to drive these remarkable results despite the ongoing challenges related to the COVID-19 pandemic. We generated solid financial results in the first quarter of 2021. Total revenue for the quarter increased by approximately 7% on a sequential basis to $130 million in Quarter One 2021, compared to $121 million in Quarter Four 2020. The adjusted EBITDA for Quarter One was $47 million, representing an adjusted EBITDA margin of 36%. The sequential increase in revenue and EBITDA was driven by several rigs that returned to work from either temporary suspension or the start of new contracts, combined with a further reduction in our operating expenses. We significantly improved our liquidity position through a new debt private placement in March 2021. The net proceeds of the $310 million issuance were used to repay and terminate our revolving credit facility, redeem all outstanding second lien secured notes, and cash collateralized bank guarantees issued under the revolving credit facility. We also completed the sale of the Shelf Drilling Journey in Quarter One and the Trident 15 TOI in Galveston Key in April 2021. These actions, combined with the cost-cutting and restructuring measures implemented in 2020, significantly enhanced our liquidity position and our financial flexibility. Consequently, on Quarter One 2021, ending cash and cash equivalent balance of $287 million increased by $214 million from $73 million at the end of Quarter Four 2020. Greg will provide more details on our Quarter One financials. Following a sharp increase in January and February, Brent crude oil prices stabilized around the mid-60s in March and April. The discipline on production quotas of the OPEC Plus group, combined with a growing optimism in the global economic recovery, have been the primary drivers. The global vaccine rollouts and an unexpected reduction in global oil inventories have resulted in a most recent run-up in crude oil prices. However, the pandemic is far from being under control, and the deteriorating situation in India and South America and some parts of Europe have caused many analysts to dampen the projected oil demand recovery trend into 2022. The recent run-up in Brent crude oil price has resulted in a modest pickup in global jack-up marketing activity. Global number of jack-ups has increased from 344 rigs as of the end of 2020 to 353 rigs in May 2021. Market utilization has improved from 80% to 83% in the same period. We have delivered a solid contracting performance so far this year. Since the last earnings call in March, we have executed a 10-year contract for the Highland 9 rig in direct continuation of its current contract with Saudi Aramco. We are pleased to have executed this renewal of an existing long-term contract, and we see this extension as a recognition of the rig's outstanding performance. The Highland 9 provides long-term competitive advantage in the region with its shallow draft and simultaneous operations capability. We have also secured a 3-year contract award for each of the JT Angel and Trident 12 with ONGC in India. Both contracts are expected to commence during the fourth quarter of this year. In addition, we have executed a 2-year contract extension on the Trident 16 working for Petrobel offshore Egypt, keeping the rig committed until February 2023. Also in Egypt, Rig 141 has secured consecutive short-term contracts with Shroko and Jinpetco. In all, we have added 20-plus rig years to our backlog so far in 2021 by way of new contracts or extension on existing contracts. As of March 31st, our contracted backlog was $1.3 billion, with 27 of our 31 marketed rigs under contract, representing an 87% marketed utilization. We continue to build a solid pipeline of near-term marketing opportunities. I would now like to provide a brief update on the progress regarding our sustainability-related performance and reporting since our last earnings call. Late last year, we conducted a formal materiality assessment to identify sustainable topics that are important to our customers, investors, and key stakeholders, and to ensure that our actions and goals are aligned with their areas of interest. We have also expanded the breadth of our emissions-related data capture to update Scope 1 and include Scope 2 and Scope 3 data. In March this year, we published our second sustainability report addressing all the material topics identified and describing in detail our disclosures and progress for 2020, as well as our planned actions and targets for 2021 and beyond. On the latter, I would like to specifically mention that for 2021, Shelf Drilling is focused on the need for reliable, quality information that reflects the reality of our operations today. This year, we are focused on creating awareness and training to stimulate our crews to capture the right data and take ownership of reducing our environmental footprint. We aim to establish a science-based emission reduction targets for 2022 and beyond. We will continue to improve the quality and depth of our sustainability reporting in order to build and retain the trust among the wide range of our stakeholders. As I close my part of the presentation, I would like to say that while the pandemic continues to affect the global economy and more specifically oil demand, we are observing encouraging signs of an industry recovery with recent contract awards and an increase in overall marketing activity. We remain focused on delivering safe and best-in-class services to our customers and believe Shelf Drilling is well positioned to capitalize on the opportunities in our sector. I will now hand it over to Greg, who will walk you through the financials.
Thanks, David. Revenue for Q1 was $130 million, including $121 million of day rate revenue, $6 million of mobilization and bonus revenue, and $2 million of recharges and other revenue. Revenue for Q1 increased by $8 million, or 7%, relative to Q4 2020, primarily explained by a net increase in activity. In Thailand, revenue increased by $6 million due to the start of operations of the Shelf Drilling Enterprise in January. In Saudi Arabia, revenue increased by $5 million following the return to operations from suspension of the Highland 4 and the completion of the extended out-of-service time on the Main Pass 4. In India and Oman, we also benefited from the full quarter of operations of the Parameswara and Shelf Drilling Tenacious, respectively. This was partially offset by the completion of contracts for the Key Singapore in Tunisia and Trident 8 in Nigeria. Average day rate in Q1 of $56,000 per day increased by 1% from Q4, and effective utilization increased from 69% in Q4 to 77% in Q1. Operating and maintenance expenses of $74 million in Q1 decreased by $4 million relative to Q4 2020. Lower operating costs in Q1 on rigs which were not operating and lower maintenance and shipyard expenses across the fleet were partially offset by an increase in operating costs on the Shelf Drilling Enterprise following its contract startup in January. Shore-based costs, which are included in operating and maintenance expenses, increased sequentially to $8.8 million in Q1 from $8.5 million in Q4. G&A expenses were $9.6 million in Q1 2021, down from $11.1 million in Q4 2020, primarily due to a lower provision for doubtful accounts of $1.8 million following the collection of aged receivables for which an allowance was recorded in 2020. G&A expenses in Q1 included $1 million of non-cash share-based compensation expense, which represents the straight-line amortization of equity awards made in 2019 and early 2020. Adjusted EBITDA was $47 million for Q1 2021, representing a margin of 36% compared to $32 million and a margin of 26% in the previous quarter. In addition to the increased effective utilization in Q1, we also continued to see the positive impacts of actions taken in 2020 to tighten cost controls. Income tax expense of $5 million in Q1 represented 3.6% of revenues for the quarter. Net interest expense was $33 million for the quarter, or $10 million higher than in Q4, due to the $10 million one-time loss on debt extinguishment recorded in Q1 in relation to our refinancing transaction. Non-cash depreciation and amortization expenses totaled $25 million in Q1, down from $30 million in Q4, primarily due to the impairment of certain rigs and other long-lived assets recorded in the prior quarter. The net loss for Q1 was $16 million. Capital expenditures and deferred costs decreased to $17 million in Q1 from $29 million in Q4. This decrease was due to the completion of the Shelf Drilling Enterprise reactivation upgrade and contract preparation project in early 2021, as well as lower shipyard activity for the Main Pass 4 and Highland 4 in Saudi and for the Shelf Drilling Tenacious in the UAE. This was partially offset by higher planned out-of-service costs for the Highland 2 in Saudi Arabia in Q1. As David mentioned, our cash balance as of March 31st was $287 million, $214 million higher than the balance at year-end 2020. We concluded the sale of the Shelf Drilling Journey in February for total net proceeds of $77 million. The successful completion of our debt refinancing transactions in March resulted in cash from financing activities of $162 million in Q1. This consisted of the $310 million issuance of 8.875% first lien notes due 2024, the redemption of the $80 million second lien notes due 2024, and repayment of the $55 million balance that was outstanding under our revolving credit facility. In addition, we had $24 million of restricted cash at quarter end, securing bank guarantees that were previously issued under our RCF. Finally, cash flows in Q1 included the $37 million biannual interest payment on our senior unsecured notes due 2025, partially offset by a good period of collections that drove a reduction in accounts receivable. The strong operational and financial performance in Q1 was delivered in a very challenging environment for the sector, continuing to demonstrate the resilience and value of our teams and platform. While the completion of certain contracts is expected to result in lower revenues and effective utilization in the short term, the recent multi-year contract awards in Saudi and India improve visibility in 2022 and beyond. The recent financing transaction has simplified our capital structure and significantly improved our liquidity and financial flexibility. This, combined with improving market dynamics, will position Shelf Drilling well to be opportunistic in the years ahead. With that, we'd like to open the call for questions.
Thank you. So once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. And if you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, that's star and 1 if you would like to ask a question. Your first question comes from the line of Patrick Fitzgerald at Baird. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the questions. Could you give us an indication of where the backlog is now? Because obviously you've had a lot of success after the quarter ended.
We've listed all those subsequent events. I can't remember off the top of my head where that number is, but it's 225. It's around about 1.5.
Okay, thanks a lot. Now, I think on the last call you said you were targeting $70 million in CapEx, including deferred costs, $15 million in cash taxes, and cash interest is now like $102 million. Is that still all accurate, Greg?
Yeah, I think that's right. This year's a little bit, we have a little more concentration of shipyard activity across the rigs in Saudi, and now that we're in the process of essentially building back to what we think will be kind of full activity across the 7 rigs there, that could drive a bit higher figure this year relative to that historical annual guidance. And then the only other thing that could drive that number to be different is if we were, you know, moving a rig to a new location with a new customer ahead of a long-term contract. We don't have anything like that, you know, planned or committed at this stage, but that's the only other thing that could drive that number to be different. But we were, you know, just under $17 million in Q1, which, you know, is kind of right in line with that run rate. We have a little more activity in Q2 with both the Highland 2 and Main Pass 1, but I think that's still the right range to think about in terms of general annual capital spending levels. Taxes, you're, you know, about spot on, kind of 3 to 3.5% of revenue. And interest, yeah, that's exactly right. With the two debt instruments, it's exactly 102 of cash interest on a go-forward annual basis.
So you kind of, on the last call, you guys sounded like you might be in a position where you'd be burning some cash, excluding the Journey sale. But then you had, you know, $47 million of adjusted EBITDA this quarter. And I wouldn't think that the numbers would get worse throughout the year. Has your perspective kind of changed on your cash burn?
No, we did mention we think there's going to be a bit of a sequential dip Q2 and Q3. And in India, you know, we have 4 contracts ending, you know, from late March until a couple of weeks from now. We had the Tenacious that just came off in early April in Oman. So we are going to see a bit of a dip in utilization and revenue through the middle of this year. And we tend to see, you know, a lower level of maintenance expense in Q1 that probably moves a bit higher through the balance of the year. So, you know, Q1 is not necessarily the perfect run rate to think about for the rest of the year. So, no, we do still expect to have cash consumption between now and the end of 2021.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Frederick Stein at Clarkson's Plateau. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hey, guys. Hope you're well. I have a few questions regarding both contracting and just how you see yourself now going forward. So let's start with the contracting side. It seems like Saudi in particular has awakened over the last few weeks together with ONGC, and that NOCs are really the driving force behind jack-up contracting or recent jack-up contracting. So I was wondering if you could kind of give us some color or more color on what's happening with the international players as well. Have you seen a shift in their attitude towards a new contract at this point? As you mentioned, oil has been more stable at a higher level, but have you really, you know, felt that influx yet from those players when it comes to tenders and potentially also direct negotiations? And also if there's any particular regions where that has been more prominent than others?
Yeah, I mean, Frederick, what I did say is that we are seeing a pretty material pickup in marketing activity. So, you know, this way we've seen it coming for some time, and we see a number of other opportunities that should manifest itself into contracts. And I think it's going to be a blend of national oil companies and IOCs. What's happened in Saudi is, well, number one, Aramco is keen to recontract most of the fleet that's rolling off, and they do that on a basis of performance. So if you perform very well, you're in the top tier, you get the opportunity of a 10-year contract, and the Highland 9 got that opportunity. But I think you're going to see Aramco, and there's been a number of other fixtures where Aramco has fixed a number of contracts that are rolling off. I'm not imagining they're going to increase the fleet from where it is. I think they're going to focus on the rollovers for now, and maybe you'll see an increase in activity rolling into 22 and 23. The IOCs, we're seeing, you know, activity in with the IOCs in West Africa, marketing activity, and some marketing activity with the IOCs in Southeast Asia and in the Mediterranean. I can't get more specific than that. We're seeing a strong level of activity with ONGC. ONGC is keen to recontract what's rolling off, and they may be looking to add some additional capacity. I think the production levels in ONGC have dropped off a little bit, there is a need for ONGC to increase their workover activity and their infill drilling activity to even sustain production where it is. And as I think everybody's aware, India is importing roughly 85% of its energy needs. So there's a strong motivation in India. And I think we'll see some growth opportunities in India. We'll potentially add some rigs into India. I don't know if that's sufficient color, but all I can say is that, yeah, we're seeing a measurable pickup in marketing activity that should ultimately lead to new contracts.
Yeah, no, that's great, caller. Thank you. And just a quick follow-up on the High Island 9 there. Is it fair to assume that the contracting dynamics and underlying day rates on that is similar to what you did with the Quartet in late 19, or is it materially different?
No, it's very similar.
Okay. And the second part or the second question here, Greg, you said that, you know, you're in a good position to be opportunistic going forward, if I heard you correctly. So some M&A has happened already, and more might happen as well. How do you think that you can kind of best utilize your runway until 2024 now to maybe, you know, think about fleet renewal, but also potential other opportunistic moves, as one can describe them. If you can give me anything on that, that would be great as well.
David, you want me to take that one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. Well, look, I think it was meant to be somewhat twofold. We have put excess cash on the balance sheet. My comments earlier indicate that we think we'll consume some quantum of cash through the middle of this year, but we do believe there's some excess liquidity on the balance sheet, and that's a positive position to be in, particularly relative to where we were a couple of months ago. So that could be with respect to the balance sheet. It could be with respect to strategic opportunities. There has been a lot of talk about consolidation in the sector. There have been a few steps that have taken place thus far. We have no sort of crystal ball or explicit plan, but we think that the financing puts us in a better position to potentially be involved in discussions, potentially be proactive, around individual assets or larger situations. So it's hard to be too specific, but we did have some short to medium term kind of funding risk in the business, through the course of the second half of last year into the beginning of this year. We've completely addressed that, which we view as a positive, which I think, will allow us to look at, different opportunities as and when they present themselves. Not terribly specific, but I think we plan to be sort of open to, kind of micro and more macro, topics in the months ahead.
Great. Thank you so much. That's all for me, guys. Bye.
Thank you. As a further reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. And if you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key.
Operator, if there are no further questions, I think we're good to close the session.
If there are no further questions.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Thank you for joining the call, and look forward to meeting you on the next call for quarter 2. Thank you very much.
That does conclude the conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.